Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the constantly changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Today with me is Arby Abramian, the Mortgage Doctor. Hi, Arby.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm just great. Thank you very much. Everybody knows that Arby is studying to be a medical doctor. He's also doing loans for us and has for a number of years. We're happy to have him with you. How's business? How's life?
It's good.
You're tired, right?
Very tired.
Okay. Everybody in the market seems to be tired, too, right now. We have a great show coming up on today's show. With us is Charles Gisgombe, who is an account executive for United Security Financial. They deal in secondary market and purchasing of loans, and Malibu Funding is one of their clients. Also with us is one of our mortgage loan officers from Southern California, Ivan Contreras, and he'll be talking about market conditions and what's happening in the southern part of the state. Okay, Arby, news. What do you got in the news for us today?
Well, there's three that I actually printed, and I'm ready to talk about it.
Okay.
It's from Mortgage News Daily.
Okay.
The first one is by Matthew Graham. Sorry if I miss...
Matthew Graham.
Yes.
Okay, very good.
So it says general anxiety for bond market or specific phobia.
What does this mean?
Mortgage-backed securities. Everybody thinks the rates are going up, and they keep telling in the news that rates are going up and you need to purchase bonds. And bonds and rates, they usually work opposite each other.
So okay,
one
that's
goes
right.
Up, the other one comes down.
That's right. Okay, so the bond market. We've always talked about secondary market and how that affects you. You want the lowest rate possible. So how does that actually happen? Well, the federal government for years has been artificially holding bond prices because they have, the Fed has been buying bonds, or what they call the, what do they call that? The mortgage-backed security buying. They were buying $40 billion a month, and $45 billion a month were buying mortgage-backed securities. Both of these things from the Fed has been tapering. I think now we're at $10 billion a month in terms of both.
Well, what they're trying to do is they're trying to have the other lenders to step up. To
well, absolutely.
Start lending.
Well, that's
because
right.
Because right now they're in relaxed mode.
What I was saying about the rates and how that affects the rates is when the Fed is pulling back, what we're finding now is that the free market or the players who are out there who are not the federal government or the Fed are either going to buy the bonds at a certain price or they're going to buy it at a lesser price. And right now what happens when bonds are sold, and these are mortgage-backed security or bonds which then replenish the mortgage funds for the industry, when bonds are sold at a certain rate, let's say they're sold lower today than they were yesterday, it means that the yield, if I buy a bond, I want to make money. So if I make money, that's called a yield. If the yield goes up, that means that the bond, the purchase price goes down. You have to give me more money to buy those bonds from the Treasury. If that happens, mortgage rates go up. And that's just the, as Arby was saying, when one goes down, the other one goes up. So when you hear about bonds, this is the inverse relation that they have to you when you're talking about rates in the mortgage industry. And that's what's happening here. It's very skittish right now. We've got a lot of things happening. And we'll talk about this a little later in the show with Ivan. What we're going to talk about is what are the market conditions out there right now in the real estate market? That's one aspect. What is the relationship between buyers and sellers? How many buyers? How many sellers? And is that an equal relationship or is it a seller's or buyer's market? In the bond market, it's the same way. Have you got more buyers than sellers or sellers than buyers? If there's more demand, obviously, price goes up. And when the price goes up, the yield goes down. When the yield goes down, that means that the rates will probably go down. So this inverse relationship affects you directly. And when you watch it, make sure that you're watching it on a daily basis because these are sold, and they're sold in 64th increments, means 1/64th increment in terms of how they're sold and bought on the market. What else do you have for us today?
Another one. It says, this one is by Jan Swanson.
Okay.
It says mortgage application is the lowest since 2000.
Okay. Now, this is exactly what we're talking about. What we're talking about is a skittish market, and it directly relates to the bonds, which directly relates to the demand. If what we're seeing is the demand for mortgage money is less than it was a month ago, 6 months ago, a year ago, bonds are going to be directly affected, or the reverse. If the bonds happen to have interest rates go up because of the number that we're going to be paying for those bonds, that means less people are going to want to buy. Now, why do you think applications are down? And now, I've seen people this all are, over, and I've heard it from real estate agents. Supply and demand, I guess.
Supply and demand.
I mean, really,
people are right now, they're probably investing in bonds more than doing finances.
And I don't know this for a fact. The economy is not as great as we've been led to believe.
No.
I believe that certain areas of the country are doing great. And I believe that people who are making over $250,000 a year are doing great. But if you're looking at most of the country, when real estate prices went up in Southern California and Northern California this last year, did it really reflect the honest-to-goodness demand in the marketplace, or was it speculation in the marketplace?
It was speculation.
Right. And so have prices actually overreached? I mean, if we're looking at prices right now in certain metropolitan areas in California, and we're looking at them in terms of a broad-based demand. Mm-hmm. Are we really reflecting the true value of those properties? I would say I'm not quite sure.
No, same, likewise.
Okay, so this is going to directly affect mortgage applications, meaning that people are saying, you know what, I'm going to pass. I'll tell you a quick story. I'm working on a deal right now, and it is a condominium. It is a split-level condo, mm-hmm. and it is Ocean View. And the people purchased it for $800,000 in 2011. Okay?
Wow.
It's a nice price, right?
Very
nice
price.
Well, when they purchased this, the previous high in that particular condominium complex was $1.2 million. Mm. But that was, you know, prior to 2008 crash in 2006. So we went through the crash, and this is now coming out of the crash at $800,000. Well, there hasn't been... And this is a professor. This is someone who has a steady job, who looked at it as an investment. He owned a home. He was renovating his home. And now he's moving back to his home. And he wants to sell the unit. He can't find buyer for $800,000. I took a buyer over there 3 days ago. I showed him around the unit. Yeah, I want to buy this, but I don't want to get in a bidding war. You know, why get in a bidding war? Well, what's this other thing, this other offer that the agent says that he's got? Mm-hmm. So I went to the other agent. I said, look, my guy doesn't want to get in a bidding war. He doesn't see the price value. They were asking $995,000. I said, there's no way it's worth $995,000. The last highest sale was when you guys bought the unit for $800,000.
Yeah.
Since that time, $625,000, $675,000. So to justify the $995,000 is insane. So the agent said, no, we got an offer. We don't need you guys. I said, fine. I get a text from the agent the other day, 2 days later, and he said, you know what? My other offer never responded to our counter. So this tells me the guy gave an all-cash offer. He probably offered him $750,000.
That's right.
The agent was trying to play us to be like, oh, you know, there's such demand, you better step up. I said, we're not stepping up because we don't see the value in it. They countered to the all-cash buyer. The all-cash buyer disappeared. He said they were in Italy. Yeah, so all my all-cash buyers are in Italy or France or they're vacationing in, you know, wherever. It's just hysterical. What else you got for us, sir?
Another one. It says... all cash sales fall to 6-year low.
Okay, this is exactly what. Okay, read that for a second. Read through that.
Basically, it says the market shares of all cash home sales continue to fall, and June made up the lowest share since the beginning of the financial crisis.
Okay, and how many years is that? 6 years?
6 years.
Okay, 6 years. All cash offers are failing. This tells you that investors are looking around going, you know what? We may have an inflation here. We may have a.
But Jeff, this corresponds to the bonds.
Corresponds to the bonds. It corresponds to my personal story. Yeah. It says that the market is not as hot as we've been led to believe. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a discerning buyer out there, both for mortgages and for real estate, wait. The market's going to cool, and you don't want to get stuck in buying something that may be not valued the same way next year that it is this year. So what does that mean? That means that the house that you have currently, sit, wait, refi it. Get it into the lowest rate possible. That's one option for customers of ours, or people who want to do loans. Also, for purchase people, start lowballing. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? And what do I mean by a lowball? I mean, if you've got $1 million listing price, come in at $900,000.
Yeah.
10% low.
Yeah.
I mean, the days of overbids and competitive bids and competition and competing, and maybe they're over for a while, which would be better.
But in certain areas.
Well, obviously, always certain areas. I mean, obviously, certain areas of San Francisco, I mean, you know, you're still going to get 10 offers.
Of course.
But I know in the outskirts and the outlying areas, no. So that's my advice today. RB, it's been great talking to you again. Once
Likewise,
again,
Jeff.
Terrific. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. RB Abramian, the mortgage doctor. Give us a call at 888-713-2929, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929. Our website is www.malibufunding.net. You can reach us on Facebook, of course. If you go to Facebook, Home Loans, Malibu Funding. Email info@malibufunding.net. Online with me today is Charles Giscombe. Charles Giscombe works for United Security Financial. It's a secondary market company, a seller service. Now, why did I have asked Charles to be on the show? Well, we're going to explain to you exactly how a little bit of the mortgage industry works on the back end. I'm the front end. You can call Malibu Funding. We can put you online with a number of great loan officers or myself to get you a loan. What happens with that loan, and how is that loan used, serviced, you know, when you get your statement, all of that. Charles, how you doing today?
Outstanding. Outstanding, Jeff. Thanks for having me on today.
Okay, no, great. And I appreciate you actually being on the line. Can you explain to our audience a little bit about what your job and what your company does for companies like mine when I have a loan? I just done a loan for Mr. and Mrs. Jones, and they're very excited. Now I've got this loan, and I need to sell it to somebody. Tell people what you do with it.
Absolutely. Jeff, that's a great question. From the seller servicer side, what we do is we actually take the loan, retain the servicing rights, and sell those loans to Ginnie Mae, Fannie Mae, other different seller servicers. So what that would mean to you, Jeff, is obviously for individuals like yourself, and there's brokers or correspondent lenders that actually fund their own loan in their own name. Obviously, when they're using their funds, they have to regenerate their warehouse line for their ability to fund more loans. So what would happen is a company like myself would come in, and we would actually buy that closed loan from you and your company, Jeff, and then we would sell that to Ginnie Mae, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, different companies to free you up and obviously recycle your warehouse line. And then at that point, we would retain the servicing rights, and we would have that to service that loan in our portfolio, and the individuals that you closed the loan for would actually make their payment to us directly. That's where it comes in as a seller servicer, servicing of the loan.
Okay, excellent. Now, that's interesting information. I think a lot of people out there in the listening audience have no idea other than, okay, who's the lender? The guy I talked to on the phone. All right. Who's servicing your loan? I have no idea. I got a statement. I make the payment. Or it's an automatic statement. But the intricacies involved in servicing, in purchasing, in replenishing mortgage dollars so that companies like Malibu Funding or any number of mortgage bankers, even large companies like Wells Fargo, Citibank, Bank of America, they all have their mortgage funds replenished either by selling directly to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or Ginnie Mae, or to selling to a company like yours, who in turn turns around and sells to those particular agencies. Is that about right?
Yeah, absolutely. Those banks that you all mentioned, Jeff, the majors, of course, the Wells Fargo, State City Bank, those are all seller servicers with those particular companies,
okay.
With the those arms, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Ginnie Mae, all of those loans. And basically what happens is companies like ourselves, there's like the Black Stars of the world that do also our seller servicers. They buy up to paper from the funded loans from brokers and correspondents all over the world. There's very large, from the largest extent, there's companies that are doing $200 and $300 million worth of loans every month that have to sell to someone, all the way down to $1 to $2-3 million a month they have to sell to somebody in order to replenish their warehouse line. And basically, if you're not a seller servicer, you know, obviously you have to sell those loans somewhere. So that's exactly what happens, Jeff. All those companies do the same thing that we do in regards to servicing loans and selling.
Okay, in the marketplace, you and I both know that the company that you want to do a loan with is a company who has a direct line to a government agency who's purchasing the loan. So that therefore, once I at Malibu Funding say, I'm going to do this loan, I don't have a secondary approval that I have to get from my investor, who then has to get another approval from Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or Ginnie Mae. With our relationship, and again, I work with Chuck at United Security Financial, and they do buy our loans. They are already, once we say, I can loan you the money, Mr. and Mrs. Smith or Mr. and Mrs. Jones, you can bank on the fact that that particular loan does not need a secondary approval. We are already sold, guaranteed selling to United Security Financial. So therefore, when we say it's a go, it's a go, and you don't end up extending escrows or looking for secondary approval. And as an end user, you have no idea how all this works. Anyway, you're just looking for a loan, right?
Correct. Correct. You know what, Jeff? That's exactly the case. When you're a seller servicer, you have the ability to guarantee. And so when that happens, is we're servicing those loans. And because we have these licenses and these rights, basically what happens is we're the MLB on the end to make sure that everything fits guidelines. And so, Jeff, when we do say, yes, we approve and we'll accept this loan, we guarantee that that loan will be purchased and that loan will be serviced. Therefore, it helps with a speedier turnaround. Right. It helps from a standpoint of a borrower knowing that they're going to have their deal done and it's going to get closed. And it helps from a broker correspondent standpoint on your side of the fence, Jeff, to know that when you're lending out your money on your warehouse line, that you're going to be covered and this loan is going to be taken care of and funded for you and then recycled right away. The money being recycled right away.
Yeah, that's very important. I know that we're currently in a transaction right now. And again, I've been doing this a number of years and we do probably $6 to $10 million in funded loans a month ourselves. I had a loan officer call me today in a panic about a deal just like that they had preliminary approval from a mortgage banker in Southern California to do the loan. It was a jumbo loan, and they removed a contingency on a purchase, which was the loan contingency. Well, come to find out that particular lender had to then send that approval that they gave us to their investor. Their investor was Wells Fargo, and Wells Fargo took a week to 10 days, which put the actual deal at risk. Not only at risk, but since the contingency for the sale, for the loan had been removed, what happened at that point was, okay, the contingency has been removed. Therefore, someone's on the hook for the earnest money deposit. Well, suffice it to say, nobody wants to get into a situation where there's one, two, three investors that have to look at a file that's already approved when a contingency is removed, because now everybody's upset. The borrower, obviously, the seller, obviously, both agents are upset. The broker is upset. Now everybody's talking lawyers and lawsuits. So knowing that there's a direct connection between the person giving you the loan and the investor who's already guaranteed to purchase the loan is a big deal in turnaround time, and especially in a tight market which we're dealing with in the market, as you well know. We're up in the Bay Area, San Francisco market. It's very tight, and you have to know, and that's why the people listening to the audience, make sure that when you're doing a loan, the person you're talking with can guarantee that that loan is being purchased so that they don't have to worry about whether there's a secondary approval. You sound like you're in the car right now. Is that right?
Yes, I am. I'm actually driving right now down to our headquarter office right now.
Oh, excellent. So you're on the road now. This is the great thing about technology anyway. So Chuck is on the road. Chuck used to work for Malibu Funding as a qualified employee, which is a very important position in the state of Nevada, and had transitioned to the secondary market. In the secondary market, when we're pricing, how is it that the pricing on the secondary market, when you're purchasing loans, affect the rate that is the borrower going to be paying? I know we don't talk about that much, but I think the sophistication of the audience would understand that, obviously, the loan is being sold, and that price that the guy is getting for the loan is going to affect the rate. Can you just dwell on that just briefly for the audience?
Absolutely. That's a very, very important question. And a lot of times the borrowers don't get a chance, Jeff, to understand that. So it's great that you have this forum so that you can explain a little bit. Not to say to get so invested in it, but to give them an idea on how they can benefit from this. What happens is that when you have the two players between the actual servicer or the seller or servicer of the loan and the broker or the correspondent, there may be different overlays or different go-betweens in between that will affect the rate. The beautiful thing about this situation, Jeff, is Malibu Funding being directly in connection and working with United Security Financial would be that those interest rates can be passed on, the savings can be passed on immediately without the different layers and levels.
It's excellent.
Without any dams or any different walls in between it. It's just whatever that savings is because we're directly dealing with Wall Street, and then that dealing with you can see the true savings in that. It makes a lot of difference in savings passed on to the borrower.
Chuck, I got to go, and thanks. That's great information, and I appreciate your time on the show with us today. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry.
This is The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For questions or comments, send email to info@malibufunding.net. Don't go away. The Mortgage Voice will return in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. And with me today, again, is Arvi Avramian. Hi, Arvi.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm just great. Thank you very much. I want to get right into what I want to talk about during this particular segment, which is advertising. Everybody in the marketplace has heard advertising about mortgages, mortgage rates, what to do, when to do, how to do it. Got to do it right now. And here's what we're going to offer you. Our producer was just telling us 10 minutes ago about Quicken Loans offering? What were they offering?
That they're going to pay off like 1 year of your payments for the loan.
1 year of your payments. So in their advertising, they're going, oh, okay, so come get a loan with us. And if you get chosen, we'll pay 1 year of your...
But how do you get chosen?
I have no idea. But the point is that this is a lottery-based system in terms of getting a mortgage. What are some other ones?
But here's the thing. Like even lottery, you have a one in a million chance.
One in a gazillion chance. You got a better chance of hit by lightning. So, you know what I mean? You know the old golf joke. Right?
No.
You know, a golfer walking down the fairway has got his 2-iron above his head, and rain and lightning are coming, and his partner says, hey, what are you doing with the golf club above your head? And he says, God can't even hit a 2-iron. So they, you know. So the point is that it's very, very difficult for you to get out there and get any kind of a loan with a lottery-based system that somebody's going to pay off. So advertising, when you're listening to it, what are you listening for? I'm in the business. I know when people are just overselling, telling you what they want you to hear. The main thing about any advertising is they want you to pick up the phone. We do it. I mean, this radio show, for instance, is about having you pick up the phone. And by the way, our phone number is 888-713-2929, and our website is?
www.malibufunding.net.
Okay, so the advertising, everybody, from us on the radio to the commercials on the radio, what you read in the online magazines, what you read in the newspaper, television ads, everything is designed to have you as the consumer do what?
To call you.
To call me, to pick up the phone, to ask us questions. But are you savvy enough to understand what the difference of a bait and switch? What's another one?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of them. Like, you know, I made some notes here. It's like misleading advertisement.
Okay.
You give a fixed rate and you tell them this is going to be your payment. Once they call you, it's
not
change.
That payment. The payment change. Sorry, the program is not available
it's
anymore.
It's illegal to do that.
It's illegal to do that. As a matter of fact, just some of the educational things that we can tell you right now and in the news to use section will be that we can tell you, look, if you have an advertised rate and you see it in print or you hear it on the radio, and it is not good by the time you pick up the phone and call. Let's say you call right away. That's illegal. You have to have the rate available. It has to be a bona fide rate from a bona fide lender. Now, Malibu Funding is a lender, so we are able to offer rates when you call us on the phone based on the material that you give us. And that's always the equivocation of any of these people who are going to get into a situation where they're saying, hey, the guy didn't give me his material. He didn't give me his bank statements.
Even like, you know, when you give rates, you give payments, you have to give the APR.
The APR. What is the APR?
By law. annual percentage rate.
That's right. The annual percentage rates, which includes the fees that it costs you to get that loan on top of the rate they're going to give you for that loan. So that's why the APR is normally higher than the regular rate that they're going to quote you on the loan. Like, for instance, if you got a 5% rate and the APR is 5.125, well, you know that the 125 over 30 years will be paying for the cost of the loan. Now, everybody knows that a $500,000 loan or a $300,000 loan, even 0.125% over 30 years is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
It's more than you're going to be paying in closing costs. So just be aware of the advertisement when people get on the phone and tell you. What are a couple other things in the advertising section that we're talking about?
This one caught my attention. Misleading foreign language advertisements.
Okay. Misleading foreign language advertisement. Now, our market, where we are broadcasting, let's say we're up in San Francisco, San Jose, and Oakland, obviously in Los Angeles, Orange counties, over in Las Vegas, soon to be in some other places. We got a lot of people that speak a lot of different languages. Even English is a second language to probably 30 to 40% of this market. Has anyone in our listening audience, how do I phrase this? Let's say you're speaking Chinese, okay? And you are listening to Chinese radio, and you hear an ad about a rate or a program or something that you pick up the phone and call. Do you think there's anybody in the federal government, in the state government, in the local government, who is listening to that advertisement for you to be able to protect you in as a result of misleading advertising? What do you think the chances of that are?
It's very low.
Zero.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Because you think about the number of people in our market in California. There's 35 million people in California. You add another 2 million in Nevada. That's a lot of people. And there's probably 100 different languages spoken every day in those markets.
At least.
And so are you saying that, you know, based on the budgets in the state and the federal government in terms of compliance in these different areas, in all the different departments, so you've got RESPA, you've got TIL, you've got, I don't know.
HUD.
You've got HUD. You've got all these different agencies. Are you saying that each one of these agencies is going to have 100 different people listening to each market's ad? No. The only way that, any of this...
That's going to be a lot of salary.
Oh, my gosh. There's just no way that's going to happen,
no.
Ever. So the key here to anything is be skeptical when you hear advertising. Write down what you hear in the advertising and question what the ad is to the people you want to speak to about the ad. Most notably, when they answer you, you're going to get a real good idea as to whether these people are baiting and switching, which is a common practice, used to be a lot more, where they would quote you a certain rate, and when you got on the phone with them, they said, I'm sorry, that particular program is no longer available. How about this program? Like, you don't want the blue shirt. That was on sale, and it's not in your size. But how about the yellow shirt, which is in all colors and sizes? It's 10% more cost, but hey, it looks good on you, you know? So the point about advertising is it's designed for one thing, is get you to pick up the phone and call. To protect yourself in the market for a loan, you've got to be able to discern whether what you're hearing on the advertisement matches what you're going to be seeing or hearing on the phone. Now, a lot of companies will allow you to do an application over the internet.
Of course.
Right. Malibu Funding does the
same
thing.
Over the internet, over the phone.
Over the phone, over the internet, in person. We take a lot of applications through our website, and we're very adept at taking that information, getting back to the client, and checking to make sure that the information we're receiving is correct. You have to do the same thing when you have an advertisement. When you hear somebody say, you know, they're going to give you a lottery ticket to pay your mortgage for a year if you do a loan with them, you have to say, well, wait a second. Do I have to do the loan and then you pick me? Or do you pick me before I do the loan? Or how does this work? And what are the percentages of the chance that I'm ever going to have this happen?
One in a million.
One in a million. It's just, Quicken is a big company.
But Jeff, that means there is a chance.
That's absolutely, you know what? There is a chance. Now, I like Quicken Loan. I like Cash Call. I like a lot of these companies because they serve a segment of the market and they have rates that are really pretty good.
Yeah.
They are. And if you have a cookie cutter loan that you can do with them, they're probably a pretty good bet for you. Shopping around, getting the best rates, if that's what you're looking for, getting the best service, if that's what you're looking for, getting the best... what's another?
Jeff, like, you know, just like, you know, any other business, anything that you want to do, you even if you go to do a physician to your doctor, you always get a second opinion. You interview at least 2-3 loan officers. This way, you understand which one is truthful, which one is trying to bait and switch.
Right.
So it gives you a better idea.
That's a great idea. Now, we've gone through in past shows several things about what you're going to do to be able to get a loan officer, to be able to talk to you, to be able to listen to you. We're talking about advertising today, the misleading advertising, whether it be foreign language, whether it be bait and switch. What was the other one, the phishing one you talked about?
I can't remember the name, but it's something like... I forgot the name.
Okay, what's another one in here?
Another one. This one caught my attention too, because right now in this market, there's a lot of people with debt. So right. The advertising, misleading claims of debt elimination.
Oh, I see. So basically you're saying, all right, come to us.
Refinance, your debt's going to be gone.
That's right, exactly. Except the debt you just took on with the loan
With the loan,
you.
Yes.
Right. The debt consolidation loan. It's actually a pretty good loan if you've got high credit card payments. Like a lot of credit cards are charging 30%. I think it's highway robbery and these. It's just a horrible thing. But people, you know, need money, and it's the quickest and easiest way to go because you have the credit limit on your card. Most cards have a lot of credit limit on it, and you drive your credit cards up.
But, Jeff, you know what the problem with that is? Like, you know, you have to interview the borrower as well, because if the borrower is going to eliminate all those credit card debt, and then 6 to 7 months later, they're going to max it out again. So basically...
Well, that's the responsibility of the loan officer. They have to ascertain from the client, look, are you going to be the type of person that wants to pay off their debt and then tighten your belt so that you're not spending? Because if you're not that type of person, I don't want to have you back here in another 6 months and have to redo a loan. It just doesn't make sense for you. I don't feel right about doing it myself. Anyway, my name is Jeff Barton. This is Aubrey Brahmin. Harvey, thanks
Jeff.
Very much. Great segment, and we'll be right back. Again, the phone number is 888-713-2929.
And don't forget our website, MalibuFunding.net.
For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. And stick around for more of The Mortgage Voice on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton. You are listening to Your Voice in the Mortgage Industry, Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929. You can also see us on the web at www.malibufunding.net. We're on Facebook. Of course, we're on Facebook. Home Loans, Malibu Funding. And our email address is info@malibufunding.net. As part of our continuing interviews that we've been doing with not only members of the loan community, the real estate community, as well as the other professionals, we are now really happy to have with us Ivan Contreras. Hey, Ivan, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff.
Oh, great. Ivan is one of the loan officers and real estate agents for Malibu Funding, and he works in Southern California. Ivan, tell everybody where you work and what area of the state of California you work in.
Well, actually, I work out of the Santa Ana, Orange County division. I've been working out here in this area for about 5 years now.
Okay, very good. As you know, and Ivan, I'm sure I've told you, this show is broadcast in several areas. We are up in the Bay Area, San Francisco, San Jose, and Oakland. Hello, everybody up there. Shout out to the guys at KDOW. That's great. We're also in Southern California and out in Las Vegas, Nevada, soon to come to New Mexico and some of the other places we're trying to put the show on. We're excited. We get a lot of feedback from people. Ivan, in your neck of the woods down in the Santa Ana area of Orange County, how's the business down there, and what are you seeing as the trends towards both purchases and the kind of loans that you're doing down there?
Well, mainly right now, the majority of my business, 80%, is purchases. I'll say it's about 80% FHA, and what I'm seeing now a decline in prices. I'm predicting an 8-10% decline this time next year. I am seeing the market as being saturated with houses, but like I said again, there will be a decline. You know, that's just my opinion, and that's where we're at now.
Okay, so down in your area, all right, that's very interesting. I know that in where the show is broadcast up in the Bay Area, they are just choked for housing. There's none. And so the prices have been going through the roof. But in another very large market in Southern California, in the Orange County area, what you're seeing based on your experience is that housing, there's a glut of houses on the market, which will drive the prices down. 8-10%, that's pretty significant, wouldn't you say?
Right, yes.
Okay, so...
I'm seeing it every single day. You know, price being, you know, the market declining, it seems every single day in this region. There's a number of houses that, you know, declining 10,000, 15,000 that's been in the market, you know, over 90 days. So, you know, there is a lot more houses out there, and it seems the market is declining, you know, day to day.
When the market was really hot, and I guess that would be, what, a year ago or 6 months ago down there?
Right.
Okay. So when it was like that, how long did a house stay on the market before it was sold?
Typically, the house will be sold, between a week to a week or 3 weeks. It was typically seeing a lot of activity, you know, within those 3 week time period. And like I said, again, you know, typically it will be sold, you know, before 3 weeks. So.
Okay, very good. And it just so the audience knows, standard in the United States, what they call an average market, which means that you have an equal number of buyers and an equal number of sellers. A house will stay on the market for 5 months. In a hot market, which California has been, especially down into the area we're talking about today, especially up in the San Francisco area, we will see a house, as Ivan was just saying, sold in about a week. So you're saying, Ivan, that things have been sitting 90 days as a rule. That's probably still within the parameters of being a seller's market. Are you seeing that they're on the market longer than that? Or
yes, as of now, these houses there are staying on the market a lot longer than 90 days.
Okay, so this is actually a good thing. We want to see an even market because it gives everybody an opportunity to negotiate, whether it's price, whether it's on your loan, whether it's on repairs to the house. So I don't necessarily see that as a bad thing. Do you?
I don't. I mean, you know, there's always opportunity in every single market. And this is just another opportunity for us.
Okay, so do you think that one of the reasons, I've read some articles about the millennials and how they're unwilling to come up with reasons to buy a house. They much prefer renting. Do you see that as a reason, or is it just an employment issue, or is it just a cyclical issue that the market has been saturated enough, or maybe all the people that bought houses during the real low period have been trying to flip them into the higher price and there's just too many? What is your underlining reason that you don't see enough buyers in the market to maintain that hot spurt we were in?
I mean, you know, first of all, housing out here in Southern California, it's really, really expensive. I mean, you know, especially in this region, Orange County, I mean, you can't get a house for, you know, more than 1,500 square feet, under $500,000.
Right.
So, you know, with that being said, I mean, you know, if you don't have at least 20% down as a down payment, the alternative is, you know, mortgage insurance and,
right,
you know, all that adds up on your payment every single month. So.
Okay. And are you seeing any new players coming into the mortgage industry that would take up the space for what we used to call stated borrowers or people who would be self-employed who might not necessarily fit into the QM mold?
I'm actually seeing new lenders coming out with stated income as they did, you know, prior to the recession. There is a lot of programs out there. A lot of lenders are becoming more and more lenient. In 2012, stated income was unheard of.
Right.
But I do see a lot more programs, a lot more stated income programs coming out in the near future.
Well, you know what? I do, too. And I think, obviously, anybody out there who's listening right now who may fit into the stated program mold, give us a call at 888-713-2929. I'm Jeff Barton. This is Ivan Contreras. Both of us can help you. You can go to our website at MalibuFunding.net and look at the number of loan officers that we have all over the state and in several states. We're licensed in 12 different states, and you can see if we or you can find somebody within our company to help you out to get a loan. The most important thing is here is to find out exactly what your particular situation is. I mean, what we found out recently with non-QM lenders coming in, we had Eric Morganson on last week, and he was talking, he works for a company called Angel Oak, who works exclusively through us at Malibu Funding. They do a lot of non-QM products. And what is a non-QM product? Well, it's, as Ivan was stating, the stated income type of borrower, somebody who couldn't qualify necessarily for a strict under 417 or under a high balance 625 loan with FHA, who needs a loan, who has an income, who has their taxes done, but doesn't necessarily fit into the box of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And I agree with what Ivan was saying, is that we have an opportunity here to begin to service people in private money much more than we used to when Fannie, Freddie, FHA were dominating the market. I don't know, are you seeing that as well? Because I think there's the opportunity right here for people who do not necessarily fit into that box to be able to now get loans through non-QM people. What do you think
right.
about Don't you look at that?
No, like, again, you know, as far as, you know, qualification goes, I mean, we are seeing a lot of programs out there, and it is becoming a lot more lenient. And even though, you know, especially for business owners, you know, not showing as much income as they like in the tax returns, I mean, there is stated income coming back, and, you know, lenders are coming up with new programs every 3 months or so.
Yeah, and I agree with that. So just a word of the wise, give us a call so that we can review your documentation, get involved with what you're trying to do, whether you're trying to buy a house, whether you're trying to refinance a house, maybe you want to flip a house, maybe you want to buy or add on to what you currently have. There's a lot of new products on the market and a lot of new lenders. And because we've been in the business a long time and have a terrific reputation, we might even be able to do the loan ourselves. As everybody knows, and Ivan as well knows, is that we are a lender. Malibu Funding Inc. has been lending for this year, absolutely. And so being a direct lender really gives us some advantages to be able to help you both in the purchase and the refinance area. Ivan, I know that the audience would like to know, do you speak more than one language? Because we have a lot of customers, especially here in Southern California and up in the Bay Area, who do not necessarily have English as their first language.
Absolutely. My first language is Spanish, so it is my first language, and I do speak Spanish. And the majority of my business is in the Hispanic community, so okay. Do feel free to give me a call.
No, that's excellent. I mean, what we try to do is reach you out there, you're our people. So we have the abilities in many different languages and many different ways to be able to reach out and help you. So if you speak Spanish, call us. We can get you in touch with Ivan. Ivan, I really appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing your experience and what you feel the market is headed.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
No, and we'll do it again. Thank you very much. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. 888-713-2929, Malibu Funding Inc.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. For the close today, we have Arby Abramian with us. Hey, Arby.
Hey, Jeff.
Okay, very good. Great show today. Appreciate you coming on. You know what? Talking about the advertising, I like Charles coming on and just talking about the advantages of using us with him in the secondary market and how that all affects prices for you, the consumer. And also Ivan coming on, talking about prices, just what we were talking about during the show, talking about how prices in certain sections of the state of California are flattening. And what we're seeing is longer than 90-day waits to sell a property, which 6 months ago was unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
And this generally reflects the entire show. We're talking about the bond market. We're talking about cash sales being down. We're talking about the equivalent buyer-to-seller ratio is becoming more to 5 months, which is when you have an even market. If you have less than that, of course, you have a seller market. If you have more than that, you have a buyer's market, meaning that the properties will sit on the market 5 months. That is an even market. And we're getting closer and closer to that all the time, which I think is a great idea, is better. We cannot sustain 10% growth a year forever. It's just you're gonna end up in another bubble.
That's right.
And most of this has to do with the supply and demand, and all of that has to do with, you know, can I get a loan? What we've seen in the marketplace during the past 60 days to 90 days is lenders who are non-QM lenders, people who are doing stated loans again, who are doing loans that might necessarily 3 years ago be unheard of, but trying to lure people back to the market. Everybody knows that used to be 1 in 9 people worked in the housing industry, whether it was in the title industry, whether it was in escrow, whether it was real estate agents, whether it was appraisals, whether it was loan officers, whether it was banks that do mortgages. 1 in 9 people in the economy working in the housing industry, whether it's building houses, all kinds of things. So it's a very, very important sector. And if we've got a slowdown, if we've got buyers that can't buy, even though they used to be able to buy with a stated program, which, by the way, is not a bad loan. It just says that they're not traditional. So the non-QM products that we've talked about in previous shows, which are not sold to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, these type of programs out there that Malibu Funding does have access to. As you all know, Malibu Funding is both a broker and a lender. We have great rates in both, and we have extended programs that I personally don't lend on, but our mortgage wholesale partners do. And one of the loans that we were talking about just recently was a loan of a guy who was a self-employed person who had a home that they owned outright, right?
That's right.
And just explain quickly about that particular loan that we're doing for that particular person. And that particular person, I might add, is a customer that we've had for quite some time. Very happy to have him on board. And he has come to us and asked, he said, look, I own the property outright. Can you get me a loan? I'm a self-employed person. I have tax returns. I have bank statements. But I don't get a W-2 because that's just not the nature of my business. Now, there are a lot of borrowers out there. And yes, we were able to find a loan for him with one of our mortgage partners. And that's the key here, is to being able to be flexible enough to understand who's a good borrower. No, not just everybody fits into the box of a W-2 wage earner that have been at my job for 20 years.
Because that's what everybody thinks. You have to look like, if you're looking in the box and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and they're saying you have to follow guidelines A, B, C, D, E.
Absolutely.
But there are people out there that they're making the money and they're qualified.
They're qualified.
Except they don't meet those guidelines.
That's correct. I mean, so, a self-employed, like you own a store, you own a business, you own a tire shop, you you do service industry, you're a masseuse, you're a yoga teacher, you're something that gets paid in a non-traditional way because you own your own business. So you do a lot of tax write-offs so that your particular business has the ability to be able to do that. So there are lenders that will look at your gross income as opposed to your net income. Mm-hmm. And those are the people who would be able to qualify for those types of loans.
Correct.
Loans that we traditionally haven't been able to do, but recently, as like the non-QM product, we have, it is changing.
Yes, yes.
And it has to change because we can see the demand is down. You know, demand is down for bonds, demand is down for housing, and we've seen from the all-cash buyer, they're not around anymore. So
I think, like, you know, every sector, they fixed the auto industry, they fix the banking system. Now they need to change and fix the real estate and mortgage industry, which is very important to the economy.
Well, exactly right, Arby. I mean, as we sit here today, and we're in the fall of 2014, and we are basically coming into a brand new year, we got to find a way to be able to spur housing, spur purchases, spur building. That's what builds the country. Those are the things that drive the economy, right?
That's right.
Okay. I'm Jeff Barton. I really appreciate you listening today. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. Arby?
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you very much, too. Remember, give us a call at 888-713-2929.
This has been The Mortgage Voice with veteran mortgage broker Jeff Barton of Malibu Funding Incorporated. For more information, visit MalibuFunding.net, where you'll find a podcast of this program, along with past programs. You can also email Jeff Barton directly at info@MalibuFunding.net. And be sure to join us again next week at this time for The Mortgage Voice.
Jeff Barton, NMLS number 7968, and Malibu Funding, Inc., NMLS number 79620, are an equal housing lender. APR and ARM interest rates and loan options are subject to change based on market conditions and borrower eligibility. Call for additional information. Other restrictions may apply. For our latest offers, contact Malibu Funding at 1-888-713-2929, or for further information, go to MalibuFunding.net.